Friends, this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 208. I'm recording this on Sunday, January 14th, 2007. This is my first real show of 2007. I carried the CES keynote from Las Vegas last week, and prior to that, didn't do a show. So this is actually the first real show that you're getting from me in the new year, and it feels kind of crazy thinking of the new year, you know, 14 or 15 days into January, but there you go. So anyway, so welcome to the show. I just want to be very clear. This is the show that has never, never won an Emmy Award. Hasn't. We've never said we have, and we haven't. So I just want to be very clear about that. Because in the past week, everyone has won, or claimed they won an Emmy this week. In some cases, they've claimed that they've won an Emmy, but I have never won an Emmy. I've held an Emmy, and I have a picture of that. But I have not won an Emmy. In fact, I've worked on a couple of teams where they've run a couple of Emmys. So, but me personally, I have not. All right, let's get the Emmy stuff out of the way. All right, so CES was the big news this week. I was at CES for most of the week. Got home late Thursday, to this ridiculous weather in the Northwest, and I'll talk about that later. But I've got, so today's show is going to be broken up into three acts, you know, kind of like a play. So the first act I'm going to do now. The second act I have is a series of interviews, which I think a lot of you guys will like. There's a few of the interviews. I have three. So in act two, there's three interviews. I have an IPTV explanation. We announced that last week, so I wanted to get with some folks from that and talk about that. I have Dave Jones, who is working on Crackdown, which is the new title coming from Microsoft Game Studios. And then I have some folks in the World Series of video games. So that's Act 2. And, of course, Act 3, I'll just do a quick little wrap-up and talk about gadgets and whatever else crosses my mind. So CES, thank you. Saying hello to everybody. I always say this when I go to events, but a lot of people find me at events, and I want to thank everybody who was looking for me and found me. I met some good folks, and a lot of good folks. So the guys from Destructoid.com. Hung out with them for a few minutes and took some photos with them. I haven't seen those photos yet. I'm sure they're kicking around online. But just to give you an idea about CES, CES is the size of 67 football fields. Okay, just imagine if you had to cover 67 football fields. I mean, it would be close to impossible to do in just 3 or 4 days. So there was 2,700 exhibitors. There was about 150,000 people from 130 countries. And let's see if I have everything else there. So the three venues. I'm just looking at the CES facts that I got. Oh, it was a 40th anniversary. So that was great. It was 40th anniversary. The CES show was 40 years ago. I can't even imagine what was announced 40 years ago. I mean, some of the craziest stuff that they've announced. But anyway, all right, so CES was big. You know, Microsoft is a huge company, as I'm sure you guys know. In fact, I think we're considered the Borg. And we've got a lot of different divisions. So even when I go to CES, I don't know what we're all going to announce in the different divisions, like that cool desktop that you saw in Vista. That's not available in the version I have. The Microsoft Auto announcements, and I did some great videos up on Xbox.com. So if you do get a chance, please swing over to Xbox.com and take a look at the 10 or so videos that I did covering not just the Microsoft announcements, but some of the other stuff as well. So you really don't know what's going on at CES until you can kind of get back to your hotel room every night and kind of look at the stuff. But the folks, you know, who the hardest working people are at the show, and I mean this, besides the people that are working in the booths, because that's just exhausting. It's the guys over like at Engadget or Gizmodo, because those guys are running ragged. They're running almost 24/7 for the entire show. So I mean, to be honest with you, you probably got a better experience sitting at home, clicking on ces.engadget.com and hitting F5 all the time, because these guys are really doing all the work for you. Maybe that's what I'll do next year. But I ran into a lot of folks. It was a lot of fun. Some guys from Vegas. I'll never forget that. I was coming back from my hotel, and I'm sorry I don't remember your name, but I was coming back from the hotel, and I rounded the corner near this restroom, and there was this guy there. And he says, "Hey, Major." So, you know, I stopped and I talked with him. There was about three or four of the guys. And they actually, turns out, they were spending the day there. And they were on their way over to, where are they going? They're going to the Sands? They were going to one of the other venues. Because everything is not at the Las Vegas Convention Center. It's actually at two or three different different venues around, you know. So that's the main area, but then there's the Sands and there's a couple other convention centers as well that kind of supplement all the fun. So that's what's going on there. Let's see what else is going on here. You know, I got to talk to you about this. This has really been bothering me. There's been a lot of, well, you know what? It's really not, I guess it's really not my problem to solve. But, you know, there's been a lot of hoo-ha over there about the announcements that Sony's have made. Have you read about this? I'm really confused because they're talking about all these different resolutions on MotorStorm. They're talking about all these different numbers of what they're shipping. I don't know what's going on. Have you figured it out yet? Because I haven't figured it out yet. You know, we announced some pretty big numbers last week, specifically that let me pull those up here. I want to make sure I'm quoting them as best that I can. Let's see, Gears sold 3 million copies, as of earlier this week. Gears of War has sold 3 million copies. Xbox Live, we have 5 million active members. 2 million messages are crossing the network each day, and we have over 3 billion gameplay hours logged to date. 3 billion. So that's pretty extraordinary. Of course, there's all the other NPD data, which is kind of the official tracking data for the console industry. Xbox 360 outsold the PS3 and the Wii combined last month, you know, in December. So that was pretty good. I don't have all the other numbers in front of me, but I'm sure you guys have already seen them and beat them all to death. So if you want to see more photos from CES, just swing up to my Flickr site, or you can swing over to the Gamerscore blog Flickr site and see all the photos that... that John and Tony and Chris posted up there. They were down site. So, all right. So CES is done and dusted. It's in the books. We can start moving forward. Of course, when I was down there, I was trying to keep up with what was going on Xbox Live, and it turned out to be a little bit challenging, as I'm sure you've probably seen. I was when you're down there. So imagine 150,000 geeks in one place. You can imagine it's pretty hard to get connectivity. Now and then, in my hotel room, I was staying at a Marriott, and the speed was really slow. So I call the help desk because they don't do that locally; they farm it out. So I call their help folks, and the guy logs in. He says, "Oh yeah, it looks like we got a lot of traffic here. It looks like a lot of your neighbors, people in other rooms, are doing peer to peer." It's like, great, they're doing peer to peer, so I can't get my work done. So that's why I couldn't get any work done. All right, so I apologize. So Lost Planet shipped this last week, and I apologize. There was an event at Bellevue, Washington, or in Bellevue Square here in Washington that I was unable to get to. It was on Friday night. It was from 5 to 8, and they were signing autographs, and Capcom's main man was there. And I couldn't get down there because I live on kind of a hill. And I talked about this earlier. We're having the freakiest weather here in Seattle. I used to get this a lot when I was in Connecticut. We're getting snow. We're getting ice. It's just, it's crazy, and I don't know what's going on. I think it's global warming. I'll talk later about how I'm helping out global warming, helping not cause global warming. Wow. All right, so moving right along here, we've got, I was able to play Guitar Hero, by the way, at CES. Did you see my video for Guitar Hero up on Xbox.com? Wow. The dude that was showing me how to play Guitar Hero was just unbelievable. This guy was just... He was frightening just in terms of his skill. He was great. So get a chance to check that out. Hopefully I will – I don't know when it's coming out, but hopefully I'll get my Guitar Hero very soon. I can't wait to see what the achievements are on that. That'll be fun. All right, one of the other announcements we made this week, and I'm going to segue right into the interview section here. One of the other announcements we made this week at CES was IPTV. Now, Internet Protocol Television is IPTV, so it's delivered over a network as opposed to – a cable or broadcast like other things. But IPTV on the Xbox 360 has caused a little bit of confusion. And again, we did a video for Xbox.com up there that you can watch and kind of explains what's going on there. Also, if you get a chance, watch the video of Live on Windows, which is Xbox 360 playing Windows Vista over Xbox Live. It's way cool. But IPTV caused a little bit of confusion because people think that Xbox Live is now going to start streaming television shows, and that's not the case at all. So I got a good friend of ours, Aaron, whose gamertag is Big VIP, and he sat down and explained to us what IPTV is all about, what it is, and more importantly, what it isn't. All right, here we are. I'm in Vegas this week, and I'm sitting here with Big VIP. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So you've been busy.
It's been a long, busy show, man.
So we're recording this on, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know. All the days kind of go together.
Tuesday, as far as I'm counting.
But one of the big announcements this week is Xbox 360 and IPTV. You're nodding your head.
Does that not work with the audio
podcast? It doesn't
podcast?
Work.
Well. Okay.
But I want to talk. So a lot of
sometimes I make noise when I nod.
Okay, so you didn't make that time. Okay. So, but a lot of people are confused by what that means. They think they can just turn on their Xbox 360 and all of a sudden they're going to get TV over Xbox Live.
Yeah, people should think about this as a technology announcement for us.
Right.
This is a very long-term technology that for most, I'll say here, fairness, is most consumers won't participate in this this year, you know.
Okay.
IPTV is the future of television,
right.
And it's next generation TV. It's provided, Microsoft TV as a company provides this working with the telco providers. So people like AT&T in the United States, Bell Canada in Canada, British Telecom in the UK, folks like that today are providing probably your TV and your DSL and stuff like that, are going to be able to provide next generation TV to your home in the future.
So the way it works is, today when someone shows up at your house, the installer guy, and he puts this set-top box in and starts, tunes it into the service, that instead of a set-top box, you get an Xbox 360.
Right. It's an all-in-one box. And so, first, I think for a lot of people should realize, for me, being the gaming guy, I've learned a lot about IPTV and some of the great benefits you get with that next-generation TV platform.
Let's talk about some of those.
Okay. First off, the way the pipe is designed is it's almost limitless in the sense that they're able to offer more high-def content and high-def channels than you've ever seen before. So if you have a high-def TV, they're going to have an amazing amount of channels and programming that you can't get today with current subscription models. And
one of the things I like was just the interactivity, the guide. Boy, the guide is fast.
Yeah, the guide is fast.
When I say the guide, I mean the channel-changing guide.
Yes, channel faster navigation, right. Instant channel changing. Basically, when you hit the channel change button, it changes instantly.
And so, where's the remote control?
I think I'm sitting on it. Oh, here it is.
So, as you can see, I instantly am changing channels here. People are going to have to visualize this, but as I hit the channel change button, it immediately happens. The other thing I can do is I can get the picture-in-picture and see actually what's going on in another channel and get the live feed, and it's an instant channel change. And that's a really nice feature, that faster navigation. The other thing IPTV does as a platform is they're able to do advanced DVR stuff. So you're able to, today people are recording, one thing or maybe two shows on their DVR, and they're doing, things up to four things at one time.
Right.
And so that's a really interesting thing that's new with that, with IPTV and some of the future of the way TV is going. Another future technology.
Wait a minute, are you saying we can record four things here at one time?
What I'm saying is the technology allows them to do it. Each service provider will have different implementations.
So the service provider, and I don't want to stop you, but the service provider is the people that own the service that this thing talks to.
Correct.
So it's like the back end, it's the head end, it's whatever you want to talk about it, right?
Right. I will not use a U.S. example just to be more global thinking.
Right.
And let's take somebody like Bell Canada up in Canada. They would provide your TV service. They would also offer you high-speed internet access, and they obviously also offer your telephone service, right?
I see.
Somebody like that could offer an all-in-one solution. And so as part of this package, you would get things like DVR built in. You could have the option to do a set-top box, mm-hmm. or you could have the option of doing an Xbox 360. The solution applies both to new owners as well as existing Xbox 360 owners. This is the idea here, that you could upgrade your Xbox 360 current owners in order to enable this all-in-one solution, assuming IPTV is available where you live.
Right, now, you just can't go buy this. It's not like something new you go buy in a store. It has to be available in your area.
Correct. And right now, it's only in test markets, and then later this holiday, you're going to start seeing it roll out to more homes and more markets. It's still going to be limited in availability, but I know, like in the U.S., I know San Francisco is one of the markets that AT&T's...
Are we getting in Seattle?
U-verse.
God, Seattle. I hope so.
Seattle is not getting it.
Damn it.
I think you can look online to find out what markets and where it's going to be available. They're also does some other cool things like the advanced picture in picture. So imagine that kind of sports bar scenario where you have like four split screens and you're watching March Madness and you got four games going at the same time. Some of the cool technologies they can do with IPTV is pretty exciting. We talked about the faster channel navigation. And so then I started to think, well, great, now I've got this best next gen TV integrated with the live community, with a high dev gaming platform, and I can be watching TV and I can say get a friend invite or a game invite.
Wait, because let's stop. We need to explain to people. Even though it's like you're like yours today when you have your set top box, you're connected to live all the time when you're watching TV.
That's correct.
So you're sitting here watching whatever, you know, Discovery Channel high def like I like to do, and all of a sudden, blimp, I get an invite from Big VIP to play Madden.
Yes, and what I'll actually show you here, Larry, is that
it's tough to do because we're on audio.
I know. I'm gonna try my best. First, you'll see that this is running on an Xbox 360, the box right down there on the left. Yep. You also see as I hit the guide button on the remote, you'll see that I bring up the guide.
The Xbox 360 guide.
I'm connected to live. I have access to a friends list, messages, all of that here in this experience that's running right over my TV experience. Right. And so now I could be, say, watching live TV, and I get an invite to a game, and all I have to do is simply hit the record button. It will start recording the channel. It
tells me it's being recorded.
And then I can jump into the game. And so now I can now actually be playing a game with a friend while I'm recording something on the hard drive in the background.
That's blowing people's minds right now.
Yeah. This is not something you're going to be doing in the next few months. This is a future technology that we're excited to enable, and it really shows sort of the power of the Xbox 360 platform. It's something that we can do to add, you know, things like I think about the same line of how we enabled the video marketplace last holiday, enabling distribution of high def TV shows and movies, and how popular that content has been. And so IPTV is another type of technology that we're able to integrate, and where that becomes available, which is being rolled out around the world, we will have a great solution.
And then the other thing is that you talked about this a little earlier, is if I'm playing a game of Gears of War, it can actually kick on and start recording whatever I had set up previously.
Yes, that is correct. And I can then, you know, be watching a sports game, you can invite me to go play something, I can hit record, I can come back and access all my recorded information and what I had, view my recordings, and always be connected to the live community. I mean, for me, that's really important, right? I've got a full friends list. I got 100 friends, probably much like yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm always connected. I can see who's online, what they're doing. And now, instead of just saying playing Gears of War, I'll now see watching TV, just like watching a movie, is another thing I can be doing on my Xbox 360.
Yeah, that would be the greatest thing, is if you're, you know, what we call the presence, is if, you know, it shows you what you're doing. If you see Major Nelson is watching TV, that's cool.
Yep.
The other thing is that there's a lot of other services, and again, we get it's tied into whoever the service provider is, because sometimes some service providers provide other things. You can do video on demand, you know, you can start this so you can browse that. That's kind of cool too.
Yeah, the platform is really flexible, so the ability to rent and do on-demand movies and other types of entertainment is definitely part of the IPTV platform. It's very flexible in that regards, and so there's some very cool stuff that they're doing today, and integrating that again in an all-in-one box with the Xbox 360 is what's exciting.
And then I don't know if we can talk about the so it's obviously in this version there's a, what about the larger hard drive? Let's talk about that.
If you were going to be a DVR,
right,
for high definition content, clearly the current way the Xbox 360 designed is not for that. I mean, 20 gig hard drive is not. We did not build this box to be a high definition DVR.
Right.
So we'll be working with those service providers on what that right configuration will be, and you know, that will be either part of that upgrade offer or would be part of that new console that they would buy if they bought the all-in-one set-top box IPTV configuration.
Yeah, because I mean, ideally, I totally get that. So it's just a matter of that. It's expandability of the Xbox. We've always talked about that. And the fact that you can actually, from what I, one of the demos I saw, didn't even need a hard drive on it. You could run without a hard drive and just without an MU, and you could just watch TV.
Correct. Yeah, the DVR is where the hard drive comes in.
Right, for obvious reasons.
But yeah, ideally, technologically, this is being enabled. You know, I believe you could do that even without a hard drive.
So the funny thing is, a lot of people won't know this. So up on Xbox.com, I have a demo of this. I did a video this morning that is posted. So if you want to see some of the visuals that you were talking about, but I want to talk to you about.
is this not a crazy show?
Oh, it's insane. It is insane. I'm going to say CES is now the show I like the least of what we do every year.
Because it's so huge.
It's just, it's so much. It's so confusing. There's so much technology. It's just so much noise. I mean, E3, you know, which is sort of, who knows what that will look like this year. At least it was about gaming, and it became big and loud and crazy, but I knew, you know, we could talk about games. We could deliver our message in a way that made sense. We could announce new products. You get your hands on new titles. Here, it's like, you know, we're talking about cell phones, and then we're talking about music players, and we're talking about TVs, and we're talking about HDVDs, and we're talking about, you know, IPTV, and it's just, there's so much going on. Home servers.
Everybody's here. I mean, you walk around. This is true story. I was in the South Hall, and I don't know if you know this, but when I went to Japan, I was raving about the toilet seats.
Yeah, I heard that show.
And apparently there's a bunch in the South Hall, so I need to go look at that. But I mean, this is everything that basically has a chip or a battery in it is here. And if you think about all those things that have chips and batteries in them, you're right. It's TVs, it's toilet seats, it's radios. I mean, it's mind-numbing, the show. And people, I try to capture this up on the blog. People just don't understand the size and the scope of the show. And the tough part is, we're in this little, 10x10 room. You're basically stuck in here all day long, you know, doing demos.
All day doing demos, multiple days, all day.
And you're not even in, let's be clear, you're not even in the booth. You're in a special tent, totally away from everything.
Kind of like a really nice jail cell, if you will,
right.
With a lot of high-tech equipment in it and really important people coming in to see what's new. And we talk about, you know, we announced some great news at the show, and I'm sure you've covered off on some of that stuff. We what does that 10.4 million lead mean? What does having doubling our 160 titles this year mean the growth of the live community? I mean, we've got some awesome momentum heading in 2007. And my personal, as a gamer, we will have the biggest blockbusters that have ever come to the platform this year on the Xbox 360. And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. You're sitting over there. Here we are a week and a half before, and I see a copy of Lost Planet sitting over there.
How about that?
I know. I think we may need to fire that up. But do you have anything else you want to add, Aaron? It's always good to have you on the show, by the way.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's great to be here. And, you know, it's exciting to see. I think the one thing that is kind of neat here, I would say, is that, you know, we live in this world of Xbox, and to sort of pick our heads out and look at what the rest of the company is doing and Microsoft as a company is doing, I would say the Windows Home Server announcement I thought was pretty exciting. I'm a geek, so I thought it was pretty interesting.
So you can put all your photos and music on it?
Yeah, and then access. I'm in Vegas. I'm on the road. I'd love to have access to my music library, my photos, all my content in one place. I could access that there. You know, you upgrade your PC all the time. I'd love to have access to it that way from Xbox 360. So that's kind of cool. The stuff that the Microsoft TV group has been doing to be able to have some integration with them.
Did you go to the booth right behind us with the cars?
I went to the booth where the Girls Gone Wild setup is.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the one with the stuff we announced with Ford and all the stuff inside.
Yes, I have not made it over there yet.
That's near that area.
I think I was slightly distracted on my way to see the car.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. I was getting lunch, and on my way back, I was like, how could Girls Gone Wild be at CES? Like, what is it? And apparently they've made a digital
recorder. I interviewed them.
You did? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was actually very interesting in that. Okay. I was talking with them, because afterwards I told them I wanted to be in for Trixie's Gamer Chicks.
Nice.
Trixie didn't like that.
Why not? All girls, yeah. You know.
That's what I thought, too.
Equal opportunity for the ladies.
But I had a nice conversation with these Girls Gone Wild girls, and I don't remember what their names were. I actually played them in volleyball and beat them.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. But they told me that they had gone wild, is what they had told me.
Yeah, so anyway, enough about that.
We just got very, so two guys we easily totally sidetracked. Back to the cars. Okay.
But that
thing with Ford is a huge announcement, because at first I thought, oh, Ford, it's only going to be on the high-end models. And
it's everything.
It's all their cars.
Yeah,
it's really awesome.
Do you still have your Ford Escort?
My Ford? I have an Audi. I mean, you know, but I don't think it looks anything like an Escort. But I do ride a bike once in a while, so yeah, I know that.
I just bought a new car.
You did? What'd you get?
Well, you know what? I got a Prius.
I'm thinking about doing that.
You know why?
Why?
Because I went and drove this thing, and they're saving the gas. Yeah, that's great. But the fact that this thing has so much technology in it, the backup camera, the Bluetooth, it's just, it's outrageous.
And does it come, did you get navigation,
loaded.
Everything?
I got leather.
I need to go for a ride. I want to check it out. I'm thinking about getting rid of my Audi and getting a Prius. I'll admit, I saw the Al Gore movie, and I started thinking, I need to be more responsible.
Right.
And I would like to, not burn as much fuel. And
have you seen Who Killed the Electric Car?
No, I want to see that.
I saw that last week. And that's not the reason I bought the Prius. The reason I just bought it because it's kind of a cool car, and it's got all that. In fact, you know you can hack that car?
I did not. Yeah. Oh, you with extra batteries?
Yeah, you put all sorts of stuff. One guy in Seattle.
What kind of mileage did you get on that?
I don't know, because I literally just got it.
Okay.
Just got it like a couple days ago.
What color did you get?
Black.
Nice.
With black leather.
You get put any spinners on there yet?
No, I haven't done that. Maybe you can help me out with
that. I hope you pimp it out. I'm going to pimp your ride, Major Nelson.
But somebody's telling me when we lost gas or when we lost power a couple weeks ago, some guy was running his house off of the Prius because it had enough power.
Wow.
I mean, that's crazy. So, so the car stuff, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of people think when we're at Microsoft that we know what's going on in other parts of the company. We actually have to come to these shows to find out about Home Server. And wasn't it cool the other night when we were at the Bill Gates keynote and when the desktop just started moving? Was that unbelievable?
That Vista demo. I will say I have not installed Vista or run Vista yet. I haven't had a chance to, and I was waiting for the final release version. And to see what he was doing in Vista, the wall, the background, waterfall coming to life, how they're doing that tab where you visually can see everything you have running.
Yeah.
Some of the really cool integration stuff that they've got. I was sold on it. I am ready. I'm ready.
You know what else I saw is I did a demo. We get this video is also up on Xbox.com. Is the live on Windows.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Playing Uno, and then the fact that Major Nelson is going to be on the PC basically doing his thing.
Yeah, voice chat, access to my community, and we talked about Halo 2, we talked about Shadowrun and some of the stuff they're doing there, but for me, like, I play a lot of arcade games, and having things like Uno or other arcade-like titles to be able to play those on the PC, unlock an achievement, see if my buddies are online, maybe I'm at work on my PC, play them, I'm at home on the console, have access to that. I mean, now I think about, I was playing Shadowrun, actually, on the PC with the keyboard and mouse. I haven't done that in years.
Right.
And it was fun. It was really fun. And I could see myself playing a little bit. I unlock an achievement, and then I go home, and it's like I see that reflected in my gamer score. And now it's like live is no longer tied to one platform. You know, it's like my presence, my friends, that all that goes with me no matter where I am.
Yeah, so we did that. That was just the coolest thing. I mean, because we talked about that at CES, and here we are just, you know, less than a year later, 6 or 7 months later, and it's actually happening.
Yeah, you mean E3. You said CES, you mean E3.
Yeah, I'm sorry, E3.
Exactly.
We're tired, man.
You're fuzzy.
God darn it, I'm tired.
All right, about parties? What did you? I want to hear the Major Nelson party story. Did you go to the Windows party last night?
I wasn't invited.
How does Major Nelson?
Well, you know what? So we didn't get a chance. We just were so busy, and then we went over there. And
I was there. I mean, if I would have known, we could have made.
That's maybe next time. Are you going to the Zoom party tonight?
I'm not. I'm going tomorrow. I will be on the beach in Cancun.
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm flying home tonight.
God bless you. See, he doesn't really care about that Al Gore stuff. See, he's going down a party in Cancun. Yeah.
You'll edit that part out, right?
Anyway, all right, man. I'm going to let you go. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for coming on, and have a good holiday.
Thanks a lot, Major.
Well, there you go. So hopefully that cleared a little bit up about what IPTV on the Xbox 360 is all about. Think of it as where your Xbox 360 is being used as a set-top box. So anyway, as I said earlier, go up to Xbox.com and take a look at the video if you want to see some of the cool visuals and some of that stuff that Aaron was talking about. So let me just explain what was going on there. So I was basically when you go to these events, Microsoft had a whole press tent, and we had little rooms in there. Believe it or not, they were funneling and air conditioning and whatnot. So that was the whooshing you were hearing in the background. We're in this little, 10x10 room with all this equipment and the air conditioner going. So just to give you an idea what's going on there. All right, so the next interview I have is, obviously, we're in the interview portion of our show. The next interview I have is, I was able to grab some time with Dave Jones, who is working on Crackdown. Now, for those of you that don't know, Crackdown is a new title coming from Xbox, Microsoft Game Studios, and it's in the vein of Grand Theft Auto, but there's an interesting twist on it, which I'm going to tell you about right now with one of the game designers, and actually he used to work on Grand Theft Auto many years ago, Dave Jones. Here you go. On the line with me today is the game creative director for Crackdown, Mr. Dave Jones. Dave, thanks for joining me today.
No problem.
So you're behind one of the most anticipated games going into the new year. Can you tell us what Crackdown's all about?
Sure. I mean, Crackdown for us was basically a new take on what everybody seems to call the sandbox genre of gaming, what we kind of call freeform. And we wanted to create something which really had a kind of a sandbox at the heart of the game, not just something that people just do for fun in games, and they get no reward for it. So we really wanted to build something where the whole sandbox was actually the core of the game.
Got it.
So we built a big sandbox, and you know, we built some character progression into the game. And the whole idea behind the game really is to try and create a really powerful character who's on the good side, and basically he's thrown into a huge crime-infested city, and his job basically is to try and clean up every bit of crime in that city.
It's I got a chance to play it last week just for a few minutes, and it was really phenomenal. Just the visual look that you guys put on the game, and some of the interesting game mechanics that you just talked about. The fact that as you're progressing through the game, you're leveling up. Tell me a little bit how that works and how you guys came up with that idea.
Well, it was when we look back at what people enjoy doing. You know, at the end of the day, they just love doing whatever appeals to them, whether it's driving, whether it's playing with guns, explosives, whether it's running and jumping and climbing. So what we said was, let's make the core of the game. The more you kill the bad guys, how you kill them, basically, your character gets better at that. So it's kind of like a light RPG system, but without all the numbers crap. Allocate stats here and there. So we don't want all that kind of crap, We want to be very arcadey. So
yeah,
we tell the system what we call skills for kills.
Okay. So what are the things, can you give us a score? Obviously, people are gonna make a reference to, reference to Grand Theft Auto, which is a series that you worked on, correct? How do you, when somebody sits down and says, well, this is just Grand Theft Auto, what do you tell them that how it's different?
Well, if anything, it really harks back to the original GTA, the ones that we were really mostly involved in.
Okay.
And that, personally, even though I love playing GTA, I felt it got bloated.
Okay.
It went way too story focused, and way too linear. Which really wasn't what the game was about. Everybody, said, GTA was a great game because it was freeform. And yet it kind of, to me, personally, it didn't evolve enough that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, backtracking a fair bit, and it's really gone back to freeform. It's really even made it, I would say, even more freeform than the original GTA game. I mean, really, we have absolutely no linear, parts of this game really whatsoever. It really does throw you in there, and that's been a bit of a challenge from a game design point, and say, look, you're free to take down, every part of this game, however you want, in whatever order you want. So that was one of the big differences as such. And secondly, we really wanted to, exploring a huge, big living city is great, but up until now, it's only been done at street level. We really wanted to go up the way. A city's 3D. So we redesigned the whole city, it was a big challenge, as a 3D platform as well.
Mm.
So it wasn't just about, growing a city out of the way and trying to say we've got 10 by 10 square miles, It was about creating a play volume and actually going up the way. And that was great because it's a very, very different experience when you're kind of like up in the, a few hundred meters above ground level. It's a very, very different kind of game to play down the street.
So, and that actually plays into a lot of what you can do in the game. From what I could gather, I could actually, jump up. Or can you fly in the game? Can you earn the ability to fly?
No, you can't fly, but I have to say, at kind of like the top level agility,
uh-huh.
It's virtually like flying. You can easily. We have races where one guy will take the fastest car in the game, another guy uses the rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
And my money normally is on the guy who knows the rooftops.
Who's running along the rooftops.
Absolutely. You can really cover the city at an amazing pace.
Kind of Spider-Man-esque. You talked about the city being 3D in volume, can you give us a sense for what the, just what the square mileage is of the city itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple of miles by a couple of miles down at ground level.
Mm-hmm.
But the highest building in Pacific City is nearly a mile high.
Wow.
So it's that kind of scale, so... When you take into account all the rooftops and all the buildings that you can get to and explore and, go from rooftop to rooftop, it really literally becomes, you can't really measure. It's in miles cubed.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it. With the Xbox 360, this is the first time we're going to have a game of this, this sandbox, this open-ended kind of game on the platform. Tell me about some of the unique items that you're able to bring to the game because of the Xbox 360, and more importantly, because of Xbox Live.
Co-op. I mean, just absolutely cried out for it. It had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing, Sandbox is all about, compound interactions. And it was all about, you doing stuff that the game designers had no idea people could do. And that was a great thing about, Sandbox stuff. You just throw all these toys into the world, and people, you know, have their own experiences. You know, people amaze us all the time. But co-op just blows that way out of the window. You know, it was amazing what they could do single player, but now with co-op, you know, with people like picking up the guy in the car, you know, and then he throws him, rocket launches him, he gets him hired again and jumps out of the car that's just been rocket launched. You know, it's just, it becomes amazing the kind of compound interactions you can do. So that was just something that, you know, we were desperately wanting to do.
Now, can you tell me, with the co-op mode, is it something where I'm playing the game and my friends can just jump in and out of it, or how does that work?
No, it's just jumping in and out. So, you know, you can be playing, you can be like halfway through your single-player game and you don't have to start any kind of special game or anything like that. You can say to a friend, you know, either you're stuck and you need some help or you just want to play together for a while. You can come in, he can help you out. He can bring a much higher-level character in if you're stuck.
Oh.
You know, or you can help him progress his skills by if you're a higher level than him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can just leave at any point you want. You can go to, you know, just be playing in the same world, never see each other even. Not much fun, but, you know, it's that kind of freedom and co-op.
So we could be chipping away at the crime in this city at opposite ends of the city.
Absolutely, yep.
Wow.
And some of the actual tough missions are really fun that way. One guy goes and, you know, scales come in the back way of one of the big kind of kingpin's locations, and one guy's coming in from the front, you know, and kind of work as a team that way.
Wow, that's brilliant. So we've got Xbox Live. What are some of the other exciting things you're doing with the platform?
I love some of the achievements we have in the game, I have to say.
Ooh,
you know, because once again, yeah, the sandbox is all about just doing fun, crazy, cool stuff.
Right.
Which, you know, until we had achievements, so you could tell your friends about it, but with achievements, it's just absolutely brilliant. In fact, you know, probably one of the problems is there's just not enough achievements on life for our game, you know. So, and we have some crazy stuff like, you know, can you shoot five guys mid-air during a jump? You know, can you kill five guys in, you know, mid-jump? And it's just some crazy stuff like that, you know. We have some fun ones in there. We have some kind of, like, Easter eggs in the game, and if you use some of these Easter eggs to actually, you know, kill some guys with, you know, we have achievements for that. So achievements are, you know, a big, big feature for live as well. And then just generally, just with the horsepower of the 360, I mean, typically in these kind of games, you know, you've maybe got kind of like fake backdrops to the city to try and make the city appear bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the big, big things for us was, you know, we wanted these amazing vistas at the tops of these buildings. Anywhere you see in this world is real and you can get there. You know, so no fake backdrops anymore, you know, no skyboxes and that rubbish.
So this is
loading, streams everything all the time, you know. So.
Uh-huh. So as you're going through and you're, you know, like you said, as you're going through the entire city, you know, nothing's a backdrop. Anything you see, yep, you can eventually get there.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you talked about the co-op. You know, some of the other great things about being connected to live is the co-op is being able to bring some people in at the moment. And of course, you talked about the achievements. You know, how many, you guys probably had fun coming up with the achievements. So what were some of the achievements that you didn't put in there for whatever reason? Can you tell me about that?
Let me try and think. Wasn't maybe so much achievements, maybe leaderboards. You know, we wanted to get a lot of leaderboards in there. So, you know, achieving, you know, one thing is something, but having like a leaderboard for it. So we have an achievement in there, which is, you know, Can you keep a body in the air with a rocket launcher for more than 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's kind of cool. Because we have this very cool lock-on system where you can, even the smallest object, you can get a lock and you keep it in the air, you know?
Right.
So it was then, you know, we wanted to extend that to kind of things like, you know, what's the world record for keeping a body in the air with a rocket launcher?
Fascinating.
You know, so there's a lot of cool stuff that, you know, we're still looking to do that we ever managed to get in. It really was just endless, the number of stuff that, you know, people were doing with this game. And when we saw it, we said, oh, we should really do an achievement for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, the highest ever death roll, that kind of stuff. So,
can you outline some of the, you know, I don't want you to give everything away, but outline some of the interesting weapons. You talked about the rocket launcher. Tell me some of the weapons you have in the game.
I won't get too much away, but one of my favorite ones is the Limpet Mines.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously they're sticky, which is quite nice, but you can also detonate them at any time you want. And you don't have to do it one by one. You know, so you can carry, like, 6 limpet mines, attach them all to a vehicle, you know, jump in the vehicle, you know, drive 100 miles an hour towards, like, you know, some sort of, you know, well-defended, you know, gates, jump out, wait for the car crash into the gates, and then detonate all six on the vehicle at the same time.
Wow.
Create a huge explosion and just blow the doors in front of you completely away.
Wow. So it's...
And it's even funner things, like we have what are called races in the city, just for co-op mode.
Mm-hmm.
These are like, you know, big, huge races we've set up around the city, sometimes in multiple laps. And I've seen it sometimes, I've been racing somebody and I'm really beating them, and all of a sudden I don't see them. And what they've done is they've stopped their car, jumped out, and as I'm coming around to lap them, they've put lots of Olympic charges all over the road.
Oh, interesting. So it's not...
They just blow them up as soon as I pass. You know, then they jump back in their car and they're off.
So it's actually an interesting game dynamic, because with racing, it feels like I'm always the guy in the back looking at someone's taillight. So now I'm going to have the ability to jump out and kind of rig the track, as it were.
Absolutely. Or just take to the rooftops, and a lot of times your car's so damaged, you have to get another one. So it's the first race type of game, I thought, crap, my car's, it's going to explode, so I'm jumping out and trying to steal another car so I can carry on the race and stuff.
Wow.
It's a whole new take on just even, racing games that are in there.
You know, one of the things that was really apparent to me when I started playing it for a few minutes was the visual style that you were dictating. How would you describe the visual style of this game to somebody who hasn't seen it yet?
Yeah, I mean, the kind of the closest we can say is, it's like comic book style. But it kind of has its own style. I mean, we really wanted to, we had to look carefully where we spent our graphics budget. A lot of games obviously just, have maybe, 6 to 8 characters and super high res and, very limited kind of environment they can go through. It was kind of on rail. Whereas we said, we want to look out over this city. We want it to look amazingly different at dawn till dusk. At night, we want all the lights to come on, neon everywhere. The character himself, he can do some amazing stuff. The more you play the game, he gets really powerful. And he can run super fast, he can leap. So we didn't want it to be too realistic, because, the game isn't about realism. The game is about fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really wanted to push a style which, we're a bit, to be honest, tired as well of too many drab, realistic-looking games. Because realism sometimes is a bit, it's all the same kind of monotone color. It's just lots of shading. So we really wanted something in your face that really defines Crackdown, and it just was a fresh look on a graphic style that really suited the style and the action of the game.
Speaking of the style, one of the things that I find interesting about this game that I didn't get a chance to really experiment with, but that I've heard about, is the fact that in the game itself, if you run out of ammo in your weapon, you can actually use the environment as a weapon. Explain to me what that's all about.
Well, basically, you make sure that absolutely everything physical in the game has a weight and can be picked up by the player. So the car explodes into 100 pieces, which it does. I mean, you can pick up the door and the wheel. You can use the wheel as a weapon. You can just, target somebody and just throw the wheel at them. So, I mean, basically, you can use any piece of the environment, as a weapon. Or you can use it, for example, as a shield. You can actually go up to a car, and if the door is open, he will rip the door off the car.
Mm-hmm.
He will then hold the door in front of him, and it would deflect the bullet.
Oh, my.
So going back to his achievements, we have the achievement things in there, which is things like, how many guys can you kill with ricocheting bullets off a car door? So just the way the system all worked, we got a lot of free stuff out of the way we put the system together like that. Guys are just picking up doors, running into huge firefights, and all the bullets are being deflected, and, quite a few ricochets were taken down there.
I suppose I could do the same thing with a trash can?
Mm-hmm. Yep, trash can, big, huge things like, light posts, lamp posts. I mean, just basically anything in the game. Not at the start, some of the stuff is really heavy, because eventually you can pick up entire vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But you really have to work on your strength skill to get some of this cooler stuff.
So the key should be at the beginning, when you start working on your characters, to get your strength up, because then it'll kind of open up a lot of venues and opportunities for you to pick things up in the city.
Yeah, and the more you do that kind of stuff, that's what obviously gets him stronger. So the more he's killing guys, with trash cans, with wheels, just with punching and kicking. The guy's physically getting stronger all the time.
The other thing that's important to note, and you kind of alluded to this at the beginning of the interview, was, in many of the previous games of like this, these sandbox-style games, you were playing as the bad guy. But in this one, you're actually playing as a good guy, correct?
Yeah, correct.
It's a little different.
It was just, it just suited the game. We'll always do, whatever's best for the game. When we sat down and designed this game from the ground up, it was like, I want to be the hero. It suited the fact that we were really giving this guy amazing powers, and we felt like I could take on like an army of bad guys, and that just really we felt suited the whole game style well. So we thought, here you come, we kind of referenced things like Blade,
right?
Super cool, super tough, and you really felt like you could take down hundreds of guys coming at it. We wanted to reach that kind of stakes in the game. We felt, let's really just give him like a really badass city to go into, and this whole idea of and it's quite cool in the game because the game, if you finish it, mm-hmm. very 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 different from when you start it, because you do actually clean up all the crime. The city actually gets cleaner.
Oh.
You drive around, it's a very very different feeling from when you start in this kind of war-torn city.
Can you tell me what you guys, and just kind of lift up the curtain a little bit, and what are you planning for downloadable content over Xbox Live?
Nothing fixed actually yet. I mean, we have so many ideas.
Right.
That's one of the problems. There's so much stuff we can do with it. We can extend the world. We can introduce new kinds of skills. We'd love to do things like replays, that kind of thing. So there's lots of cool moments. Is there a way we can capture those? So there's lots of ideas kicking around just now, but we haven't actually firmed up exactly what those are going to be just yet.
And one of the exciting things we have to announce is that, of course, there's going to be a Crackdown demo coming out very soon, probably within the next week or so. So you must be excited about that.
Absolutely. Because it's really a game, it's actually hard to do justice to this game, in my opinion, in screenshot. It's a game that has to be seen in movement, and most of it has to be played.
Yeah.
Because it's a gamer's game. It's something that, it's at the heart of what I term, just pure gameplay.
Right.
So I'm really, really excited to get this into players' hands. The proof is in the eating with this game. We're hopeful that people will enjoy it, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, Dave Jones, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. You're the creative genius behind Crackdown. You're the game's creative director. I'm really excited about playing more of the game. Of course, the demo's coming to Xbox Live Marketplace very soon. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
No problem. It's fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Crackdown, the demo, as he said, is coming out very soon. And hopefully I'll have more details on it in the coming few days. But a little bit of noise on the line there because, of course, he's over in Europe and I'm here in North America. So that's what happens with transcontinental phone lines. Even in this age of the new millennium, that happens. So, all right, the final interview I have for the second act is, let me just go ahead and roll it. I think it'll explain itself. All right, Larry Herb here at CES 2007. We're hanging out in Vegas with some of the greatest gaming guys here. Let's go right around and introduce you. Where are you from? What's your name? Where are you? Gamer tag and where are you from?
My gamer tag is Mob Godfather. I'm from the Mob Gaming family from New Jersey.
Of course you are. Where else would the Mob Gaming family
That's
be from?
Right. We're from the New York, New Jersey area.
So who we have over here?
I'm FBI director from FBI Gaming Agency, and we hail out of Michigan.
So you're out of Michigan, right. So you guys, and you got a whole ton of people around you. I mean, it's kind of scary. There's everyone staring me down here. But I want to talk about the gaming that you guys do. So explain to me what each one of you guys, in terms of what your groups do and how you fit into the World Series of Gaming.
Sure. I think we have one of the largest social networks on Xbox Live. We focus on Xbox Live. We're into multiple games from Halo to Gears of War to some of your new stuff out there. We just looked today at your new game coming out, Shadowrun.
Yes, Shadowrun.
Awesome. Looks really good. Bringing the PC and the console together all on Xbox Live.
So how is that going to affect you guys? You guys, console gaming and PC gaming for a long time has really been separate. But now with us coming up with Xbox Live on Vista and obviously on the original on Xbox 360, you're now going to be playing against people that you've never been able to do that before. How is that going to impact you guys?
Well, obviously we've made a big name for ourselves. Both of our organizations are very well known in the Xbox community. So I look at it just like I look at any other new game that comes out. We recruit new players. Players obviously want to join what we're doing.
Right.
So I look at it just, it'll be a new world for us to venture into, but the names we built, I don't think it'll be a problem.
So is it a new world or is it new people to really kick their ass?
It's new competition. It's a whole new competition coming our way. The PC right. gamer merging in with the console gamer. It's going to be exciting.
So how do people get involved? If they want to get involved with either of you guys, how do they do that?
Sure, it's real simple. You can check us out at mobdeep.net. It's a famous website there. And you can
go over here to the FBI side. What's your side?
FBIGamingAgency.com. We have sign-up pages there, recruitment sections. the whole nine.
What do you guys have? You guys obviously, you know, you're competitors in some level, but you're also, you know, in the same industry. So is there a certain type of games that you guys focus on, the FBI versus the mob, or how does that work?
Actually, no, there's no games right now from Rainbow Six, right, to Ghost Recon, right down to, you know, Gears of War, Halo. It doesn't matter. The competition is here. The rivalry is here. It's a friendship, fun rivalry. But when it comes down to playing the games, it's all about winning.
So tell me about what kind of ladies you have in your groups, the FBI and the mob.
Oh, we have some of the best ladies out there. Like I said, we're really organized. Everybody knows what we're all about. I brought a couple ladies with me here today. So, you know, we're looking to the future, and we know for the women in the marketplace, they got to be able to play with their boyfriends and their husbands. And like the old saying goes, if you can't beat them, join them.
Are there Zuma clans?
Zuma clans.
Zuma, you know, all the women are playing that on their PC.
No, that's real easy. See, what MOB stands for, Mafia Brothers, for the boys. And for the girls, it's Mafia Babes.
Okay. You realize there's women listening right now that are going, we're not babes. You know, we're gamers too.
Yeah, they are gamers. But we have multiple girl clans inside of the MOB. And right. Lady Agents handles the FBI side.
So, So I want to ask you guys about the World Series of Gaming and how you guys work together. And what does it mean to you, and what does it mean to gaming?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're involved in multiple games on Xbox Live, and like you said a minute ago, there is a friendship there. Theme gaming is something that he invented when he made MOB, and when I invented FBI, we kind of made it a lot better. And mm-hmm. natural rivalry, we both have huge communities, and we just think it's a great concept for television, radio, and just the gaming industry.
Period. All right. Well, what do you have to say about that?
I think it's, like I said, it's a good friendship rivalry, themed gaming. I'm the villain. He's the good guy. You always need a good guy and a bad guy.
Well, it's interesting because if you're the villain, you're dressed in white, and the good guy's in black.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way it works in the movies.
Well, we're here for promo stuff. Tomorrow we're on television.
So what are you guys doing out here?
We're doing the FBI Mob exhibition here with WSVG, the World Series of Video Gaming. It's a great event. We want to interact and network with all these other vendors and let them know what we're about. We're just trying to achieve some sponsorships to get some of our other players and teams out here. We've got players. I personally have players in 10 different countries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as these leagues form and they get bigger and they travel to these other countries, I've already got players there waiting for us.
What about you?
Yeah, the goal is to get as many teams to these events as possible and bring the best gamers forth to these events and win these events. That's my goal. I want to come in and be the top first, second, or third all the time. I never want to be fourth or fifth. I always want to be in the top three.
So what do you say to somebody who's listening right now and says, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, but, you know, they go to your websites and they're kind of scared because they haven't played with clans or groups before. What do you say to somebody who's kind of new to the scene?
Well, I mean, obviously, it depends on what they're looking at. If they're a casual gamer, we've got a place for them too. If they're looking at a more competitive scenario and they don't know what the world is out there, like, they just come to our websites and hook up with somebody. All of our players are there. We got members lists there. We got our individual clans there. And they can break the ice just by sending a friend request through Xbox Live.
There you go.
Yeah, real simple. I think that, like I said, the social network's so intense. We have one of the members here from a films division who makes little films inside the game. Right. You know, there's a lot to do for just the average gamer. The film guys aren't pro gamers. They're out there making films inside the game, something neat like that. The community is for everyone. It's there for everyone, from the non-gamer to the amateur to the pro gamer, right on through.
So you guys have obviously spent a lot of time on the floor here, and one of the big stories here is Windows Vista. How does that impact gaming from what you've seen?
Well, I mean, until we actually get inside of it and break into it, I mean, obviously there's going to be an interaction with Xbox 360 and Xbox Live. You know, it's a wait and see for us until we actually dig into it. You know, it's a wait and see, but we're excited about it.
Do you like what you guys have seen so far?
I was totally impressed with what I played earlier over in the Microsoft booth. Phenomenal. I thought the PC side, I couldn't believe that the PC guy is hanging out with the Xbox.
Yeah, what happened there, huh?
Well, I did very well. You know, I cleaned the PC guy's clock over there. But the bottom line is, I think it's going to be really neat to see PC and console come together.
So you guys are clearly hardcore gamers. What games are you looking forward to, either on the PC or on the console coming up in the next year?
Well, There's a lot of different things. I mean, there's multiple leagues. We still want to see the lineup here at World Series of Video Games. So we're focused in so many different games. Right now, obviously, Gears of War is huge, and we're hoping Gears of War could come to WSBG. But, again, that's a wait-and-see mode. So, you know, as far as future games, we're going to be in every one of them. So it really doesn't matter which one comes. We're going to be there.
You're going to be there.
From what I've seen today, Shadowrun.
Shadowrun.
Shadowrun, the newest, hottest game coming out, bringing PC gamers and console gamers to the Xbox Live platform. It's a little bit of magic and a little bit of shooter, first-person view. Really interesting. I'm really excited. It comes out, I think, second quarter of this year.
Yep.
Phenomenal, phenomenal game. I sat next to a PC gamer, and I was on a console, and we played the same exact game.
All right, so let's get down to the weeds a little bit here. So it's been an interesting 2 months. You know, Xbox 360 has been out for over a year. PS3 and the Wii came out. What is that? What does the PS3 and Wii mean to you guys? Now, come on. Don't talk to me like a Microsoft guy. Talk to me like a gamer.
Well, the truth is, coming from the gamers, that's the key, that we're in touch with the gamers.
Right.
And I'll give you the truth about what the gamers feel from what their blogs are and what they're writing about. They feel that the PS3 is just okay, and they feel that the Xbox 360 is better. And for the price of the PS3 versus the 360, majority of the gamers are going with the 360. Right. From the Wii point of view, I think that's a totally different platform. I think you got more of a different kind of gamer playing the Wii. I think it'll definitely lose a few pounds playing it, though.
Right. All right, what about you?
Well, I look at it from another perspective. Obviously, we're involved in a lot of different leagues. A lot of them are televised. For me, I have a few PlayStation 3 teams already.
Sure.
So, again, I mean, as far as leagues and gaming, I mean, we're all about the gamers. Get some of the pros and some of the semi-pros and just your community players out. So the PS3 is, again, with a lot of other things, until they have some major tournaments and stuff, it's more a community thing right now, so it's a wait and see on that, too.
All right, so World Series of Video Games, you know, what kind of money are you guys making with this?
Last month, we played the World Series of Video Games Finals for Halo. We took second, $10,000.
So $10,000.
$10,000.
For playing video games.
For playing video games.
What about you?
Well, we, like I said, we play in multiple leagues, and, you know, we had a team play for another league, and they had a shot at winning $100,000.
So people are actually making money out here.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my teams probably made around $10,000 during the one circuit, so, you know, for six events, $10,000 is not bad.
What's going to happen as, obviously, you're much more organized than a lot of the smaller clans, but, you know, for the World Series of Video Games, what's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, 5 years?
Personally, my opinion with the World Series of Video Games, I think we're going to go with a more mainstream gaming, sort of like a Forza Motorsports coming out. I think it's going to be a network broadcast. I think it's really going to become the next poker. I mean, that's basically where it's at. That's directly where it's headed. It's going to be something like what you see on poker today on television. I think you're going to see video game competitions on multiple channels, on multiple games.
Do you think that is the money going to get bigger and better over the coming years?
Oh, absolutely. With all the sponsors, I mean, come on, look where we're at right now. We're in Vegas, CES 2007. Beautiful, beautiful venue. Tons of sponsors out here, and that's why we're here. We're here to network and give all these other gamers that are not necessarily quote-unquote a pro, but give them a shot to make it to some of these television events. And I think, like Vince said, Godfather said, it is going to be more mainstream, not necessarily what's out there now. And I mean, the future is huge for gaming and for our organizations.
So have you seen the PMS girls and the Frag Dolls and then the Xbox's own gamer chicks?
Yes, we're very in touch with the PMS clan. They're another great community out there. I think they're excellent, and I think they're.
Do you have any girls in your group?
We have multiple girl squads within the groups.
Right. No, I'm not talking about, you know, are they really playing and are they active?
Seriously active, seriously girl, serious. There's no joke about
what the about
girls.
The FBI.
Same thing. Like I said, I got a couple of girls out here now, and they're here just checking out the scene. And
what's your youngest member?
My youngest member, what, of the girls?
No, just in general.
I believe the youngest member is probably around 6 or 7.
Come on.
Our oldest member is 65 years old, and he's from Ireland.
So 6 to 65. What about the mom?
Yeah, the mom, I think we're a little more upscale than the 6-year-olds. We're more, I think, probably the youngest.
What's he playing? What's his specialty?
I think he plays Halo, even though it is a mature game.
Right.
He's one of our members' brothers, but he has an actual gamer tag. And the fathers and the mothers, and they're all playing, man.
I think some of the youngest gamers are playing Guitar Hero, Dance Revolution, games like that. I think some of the more upscale games like Gears of War, you're getting a much more of an adult.
So you guys, are you guys excited for Guitar Hero? Because I interviewed them earlier today, and they talked about
about how they're going to have leaderboards. I mean, that's phenomenal. They're going to find who the real Guitar Hero is. That big for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Dance Dance Revolution, Guitar Hero. I've got the top five players in the entire state of Michigan locked down. I can't wait to see some of those tournaments because I got some phenomenal players that are going to be involved in that.
That's great. All right, listen, guys, we're going to wrap it up now. We're here at CES. Do you have any final words for people at home from the mob or the FBI? Let's go to the mob side first.
Real simple. Get made. Join the mob. MobDeep.net.
All right, there you go. FBI?
FBI for life.
Thanks, guys. All right, there you go. So on to Act 3 of my show. And here's where I usually talk about what's going on in the land of Marketplace. Marketplace, lots of activity over the past week or so since the new year. Let me bring that up here. And even more stuff that I've seen in the pipeline coming out. Can't really talk about that. One of the big announcements, of course, was that that Gears of War Map Pack 1 is available. I played that last night for a little while. And fun maps. You know, one of the map, which is basically just an intersection, that one's a little too tight for me. But fun maps nonetheless. And then I'm also hearing that we're going to be – where did I hear? Oh, never mind. I don't want to talk about that because I'll get myself in trouble. So I just caught myself there. So lots of content coming out. Ms. Pac-Man, of course, on Xbox Live Arcade. Speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, I think we have a new title. Yeah, we do have a new title coming out this week. And that, of course, is Heavy Weapon Atomic Tank. So Heavy Weapon Atomic Tank will be on the Xbox Live Arcade this Wednesday, January 17th at, well, it depends where you are, so I won't tell you what time it is, but you know what time it is if you're in your local area watching this. So Heavy Weapon Atomic Tank is going to be coming onto Xbox Live Arcade. It'll be 800 points. Let me see if I got some of the bullet points here that I can read off to you. 19 exciting missions. Survival Arms Race and War Party. Boss Rush. What else? 16 upgradable secret... Whoa, secret weapons. 16 upgradable secret weapons. 19 missions with nukes, mega lasers, and more. So there you go. They'll have leaderboards and all the rest of that stuff. So Heavy Weapon Atomic Tank will make its way to Xbox Live Arcade this Wednesday at 0100 Pacific Time, and it will be 800 points. So go ahead and download that. So that I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. So, all right, so that's the announcement for this week. Why don't we roll right into Name the Game? I haven't done the Name the Game since last year. So Name the Game is a really simple game that I play. What I do is I play a clip from an Xbox 360 title, and then what you need to do is you email me and tell me what you guess the clip was, and if you do, then you win a cool prize if I pick you out. Not everybody that emails me in wins a prize, just one person. And let me be clear, this is an Xbox 360 title. This is not a demo. This has to be a release title on the Xbox 360. Full game that you can go into the store and buy. So that's the way Name the Game works. I've been doing it for, oh boy, what is it, like 2 years now? So let's kick off 2007 with Name the Game. And here is the clip for this week. All right, if you think you know what that is, email me. My email address is major@xbox.com. Major@xbox.com, in the subject line, put Name the Game, colon, and then your guess. And in the body of the email, please put your gamer tag and optional where you're from so I can figure out where my listeners are. So there you go. I think that one's fairly straightforward. All right, let's see what else I have here. Going into the home stretch, also I want to be clear that if Name the Game, if you are chosen next week when I, if you send me a right answer and I put you into the pool and pull you out as the winner, then you'll win an Air Force X1 headset from our friends at Turtle Beach. So thanks to our friends at Turtle Beach for that. Xbox 101 is a section that I do each week now where it kind of explains a new piece of Xbox 360 or a piece of Xbox 360 that, frankly, new people may not know. Whether it's a feature, whether it's a hidden little doohickey or widget, something that will help people that are downloading the show that are new to the Xbox 360 platform kind of make their life a little bit easier. So this week, I want to let people know that you may or may not know this, that you can actually take any USB keyboard and plug it into the front of the Xbox 360 or the back, and it will work when you're entering text. So if you want to send text messages that are rather lengthy over Xbox Live and you can't get to Xbox.com, you can just use your USB keyboard. So just plug that in and you'll off to the races. Now, it doesn't work in games. It only works in the dashboard itself. So there you go. That's you. That's Xbox 101. Let's see. Gadgets this week. iPhone. Of course, CES, everyone was all abuzz about the iPhone. And it'll be interesting to see when that thing comes out, huh? It looks like an interesting little device. I just... you know, without a keyboard, I'm a little hesitant because I send a lot of email. But, you know, it may work for some folks. So I have a question. I know that I must have somebody out there who can answer this question. You've heard me say this many times before on my show. First of all, I do I'm a regular on a weekly show on Sirius Satellite Network on Maxim Channel 108, this gaming show they have called Level Up. So I have Sirius Radio now, and I bought a new car. And you probably heard me reference that in the IPTV interview. I bought a new car last week. Actually picked it up right, you know, just picked it up actually when I got back from CES. And it's a Toyota Prius. And let me be clear, and I said in the interview, I have nothing against, you know, this, all about saving the earth and so forth. But frankly, this car is just kind of cool. It's got a lot of cool gadgets in it. But one of the things I want to do is I want to drop satellite radio in it, either XM or Sirius. Even though I'm on Sirius, I kind of want to get XM to see what that's like. And I want to find out if I – somebody out there must know the answer to this question. If I install a – you know, I understand the head unit is totally different. Totally get that. But if I put an antenna in, will a Sirius antenna work on XM and vice versa? So eventually in a year or so when I get bored and want to switch services, do I have to re-put in a brand new antenna? Somebody should be able to answer that question for me. Or can I just use this the little black thing that sits on the car? Can I use that one and the other? Are they interchangeable? My sense is no, but I figure I asked you guys because you guys are the experts. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up now. So email me if you know the answer to that question. Anybody is, and if there's an installer in the Seattle area that wants to give me a deal on installing my XM or Sirius, let me know. Let me wrap it up now. So thanks to my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with secured and assured hosting via their fantastic services there. Thank you, guys. I also want to thank CashFly. CashFly is the company that allows me to deliver this wonderful audio program to you on a regular basis without interruption. Not my interruption, their interruption, or a web interruption. So thank you, CashFly. You guys are great. I guess I'll wrap it up now. Kind of first show of the new year, kicking it. I'm looking outside. The weather is just so crazy up here in Seattle. I talked about this. It's snowing up here. Usually when it snows in Seattle, I've lived here for 6 years now. And back in Connecticut, New England, when I was growing up, you know, we had snow. It would stay around for days and days and weeks and whatnot. And in Seattle, since for the past 6 years, whenever it snowed, like literally 15 minutes or an hour later, it would be gone because the temperature would rise, it would rain or what have you. We have snow that's been out there for, gosh, it's been like 3 or 4 days. I don't know what this crazy weather is. So it's driving me crazy. But the weather's just kind of horrible out there, and it's cold and it's icy and nobody knows how to drive, and anyway, it's a total drag. So that's it for the show. I'm going to wrap it up now. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint when necessary, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. After show time, new year, new after show. I bought a new microphone. You know, I'm always buying microphones. This one's a studio microphone. I put the link up on the blog. As I said during the show, I bought a new Toyota Prius over the holiday. And that funny story is I finally picked it up. When did I pick it up? Picked it up Friday. And I haven't been able to take it out of the garage because it's so icy and gross out here. And the last thing I'm going to do is take this brand new car out and get into an accident. So that's a drag. So one of the reasons I like the Prius is because you can hack it. So there's all sorts of wild stuff you can do with this. So if anybody has EV mode on there, if anybody in the Seattle area is, has a Prius and wants to talk to me about what I should do with it, so you should go ahead and check that out. So also one of the funny things about CES was there's all sorts of crazy characters there. When I mean crazy characters, I mean crazy. I mean, there's booths there that you really don't think should be there. So, yeah, I think you saw some of those photos up on the Gamerscore blog, didn't you? Yeah. All right. I'm gonna get this show posted for you guys as quickly as I can. It's a new year and I'm quite excited. And I think the weather's starting to clear, so I'm gonna go outside. So, I will. I'll talk to you guys later. It's gonna be a great week, great year for Xbox 360. The numbers are looking really good. Everything's looking great. So, thank you for supporting the show. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.